What's trending?
It's right, it's noon, it's lunchtime. Jay Binkley, JT Noah producing the operation. Cody Gold back with you on Tuesday. What's trending in Kansas City? What's trending in Kansas City sports? Well, the Kansas City Royals in action tonight. Josh Vernier comes your way at 6 o'clock. Would say a pivotal series with the Royals and Tigers for division's sake, but the division's kind of far off at this point, but every single game remains extremely important because it's not the White Sox, which, by the way, they're now 22-4 against. 22-4 in the last two seasons.
That's where the White Sox take care of the bad teams.
22-4. They have been. But it is Detroit, and the Royals sit 8.5 games behind Detroit. Cleveland's two games beyond that. So the Royals in action against Detroit. It's Paddock against Seth Lugo. Hopefully Lugo can kind of turn things around the way that August has been for him. But Cleveland going against Seattle. So that's kind of like...
We're actually kind of rooting for Cleveland.
I know. Because I definitely consider the Seattle more of a threat than Cleveland. Cleveland's been so up and down. Do you have any faith in Cleveland at this point? I think Seattle is a team you need to watch, but Royals still have three games in Cleveland. You don't want to see them. Do you want to see them sweep? You want to see them sweep Seattle?
Take two out of three.
Right, again, that's tough, though, with Seattle playing the Guardians. They play tonight at 6:10 because you don't want to see Cleveland start getting on a roll here, but yet again, you don't want to see Seattle win games either.
I would rather have Cleveland win two than Seattle win two, just because that means you have opportunity to at least try to catch Seattle. And if you're winning and Cleveland winning, your gap against Cleveland is not moving. If your gap closes against Seattle, I would rather see that happen than your... You see what I'm saying? Like, okay, hey, Cleveland wins. You two are still going to stay the same pace from each other, but you're catching Seattle, so it's a win-win for both of you.
Find a way to get in the dance. The wild card right now, as we sit, the Red Sox, the Yankees, and then followed by the Seattle Mariners. They're 2.5 back from the top wild card. Then the first wild card team at this point, Kansas City Royals, three games back, followed by the Rangers that are 4.5, and the Royals kind of stuck a fork in them, but there are 4.5. And then, of course, you got Cleveland, 5 back. So it is Seattle. The Royals will get Seattle at home. So that's good. That's good news for the Kansas City Royals to get Seattle back in Kansas City to take care of business. But they're still in it, man. They're still in it. Three games is three games. A lot can happen. As I said, a lot can happen within a week in Major League Baseball, which direction you go. But it's been interesting. Been up and down. And clearly the other night, the comeback against Chicago when the Royals weren't hitting at all and when they were smoked the day before with two hits, and they come back and win that game, then parlay that into a great game, the final game against White Sox this year. But they're done. You're done with the White Sox this year as we speak to pick up these wins. But every win, you can't look at any team, any game, even when they have to go out to Sacramento to play the A's. Every game is important, and you live and die by every game with the Kansas City Royals. But it is interesting. Can they catch Seattle, who made a ton of moves, especially bringing in Suarez, who continues to hit home runs for them? But can they catch Seattle? If you had to put all your money on it right now, are the Royals in the playoffs or not?
No, I would not bet my money on it. It's just so hard to catch them. But
you do play them three. And they've got Cleveland for three.
I know. I think it's going to be hard because there is a tough stretch coming up for the Royals where you play Blue Jays, Phillies. That is going to be a tough, tough stretch right there where you got Blue Jays, Phillies, and I believe Seattle is in that mix as well, where it's all like top tier teams, and you got to stay afloat on that before you can even get to Seattle.
You know, I don't even care if they were a wild card team as well. I know, you know, winning a division, that's fun, everything. Wild card teams still make it. Remember a couple years ago when the Rangers played the Diamondbacks in the World Series? Both of them wild card teams. Texas was the second wild card, just one game out of the third wild card. And the Diamondbacks were the third wild card, and that was your World Series.
Yeah, so, I mean, just try to get in there and make some fun happen.
Can Lugo return, though? Can he return to being the guy he was?
Hopefully. If not, then the season's over for the Royals.
It's amazing they're still a fourth team in Major League Baseball in ERA.
Wild.
The second in the AL as far as the starters are concerned. And the bullpen has moved themselves up from 12th to 7th now in Major League Baseball, 5th in the American League in ERA. They just continue to find ways to do it. And this is with Cole Reagans being shelved, right? You're number 2-4 that finished the Cy Young last year, being Reagans and Lugo. Lugo's not been the same. And Reagans, you haven't seen at all. And then your all-star, Chris Bubich, is on the shelf. It is amazing seeing what they're doing. They are skipping Noah Cameron at this point as far as probable pitchers are concerned. It's walk on Sunday. Saturday's to be determined at this point. That's normally where Noah Cameron would be in the rotation, but I don't know if it's fatigue. I don't know what's setting in, but that sucks. I mean, they need Noah as a big part of what this
Yeah, it could be a little bit of fatigue. I mean, you got to think, this is his first year fully pitching.
I get it. He's been tired.
He's been great.
But you got Waka on Sunday against Tariq Skubal. That'll be a fun pitching matchup to watch. Also, what's trending, JT? College football full force last night.
Let's go!
Well, it was week one. Week zero is now in the books. We had 5 games on the slate on week zero. We're on full slate. You have this is the big college football weekend. This has become the show for college football. This is their time. Their time in to shine. You got 2 games on Sunday. You got a great one Sunday night, Notre Dame in Miami. Then, of course, Monday, you got Belichick playing against TCU. So you get Belichick returning. So you get all these games before the NFL starts, because the NFL starts, of course, the Chiefs' first game next Friday night.
Lee
in
Corso's
Brazil,
last college game.
Lee Corso's last pick, headgear pick. He was on Southwest Airlines yesterday. Did you see that?
I did see that tribute they gave him.
They gave him a tribute like the Southwest Airlines did. Are you surprised at all that ESPN didn't send one of their jets for him?
I am very surprised by that. I thought he would get like a little private jet send-off or something.
I mean, they do it with different air shares and stuff. And they bring in like their guest picker and stuff. They're only showing up on the tarmac and everything.
I mean, Kirk Herbstreit does it.
Yeah, are you surprised they didn't send like a little private jet for Lee Corso on the fourth? He's flying commercial on Southwest to Columbus. Like, that surprised me. It's like, you did this show on Lee Corso, you did this big thing, and now you're making him fly commercial?
Yeah. Who do you think he's picking tomorrow?
I don't know, man. With the Mannings and going Arch, but being in Columbus, Ohio.
His first ever headgear was Ohio State. His last ever headgear, Ohio State.
I can see him
State.
Do it, too.
It's going
to
do it.
Lee Corso's meant so much to the game of college football. The college game day to me is, and I know Big Noon Kickoff will be there as well. They both 3-hour shows. But to me, that game day is the best sports production. I know people like TNT and they liked when Shaq was on there and they liked the way the production that got a lot of run. To me, there's been no better show in sports pregame show than what College Game Day is. Like none. NFL, none of them beats College Game Day.
The best football one, hands down, ESPN College Game Day. And it's crazy because my fiance never, ever watched College Game Day. We got it to college. I was always watching. She goes, "What are you watching this?" I was like, "He's about to pick his headgear." Shh. And then now she's caught up in it. And she's like, "We're not even going to get to watch Lee Corso together pick his last headgear." I go, "I know, because I got my show on the sister station, 1660, from 11 to 12. And so she's
That's
like,
tomorrow, right?
Yep, tomorrow, 11 to 12, 1 hour dash with JT on the sister station, 1660. But she's like, "We're not even going to see it together." I go, she's like, "Are you going to watch it?" I'm like, "Yeah." She goes, "I wasn't going to watch it." Watch it. I'm not going to miss it. Come on.
It's one of those things that, I mean, I'm sure you grew up on it.
Yeah. You got up every morning, you're like, that's what I want to watch.
It's one of those things with the stories they do about the players they're going to see and all that, but it's not just about that. It's not about the production. It's about being live at an event. It's being that set there. It's all the excitement when teams find out that they're going to be on game day, changes, who's good, who's relevant, which game they show up to. But it's huge. I remember when they went up to North Dakota and Fargo for North Dakota State. They did FCS, and they'll go to other games. But it's a big deal having that crew.
I mean, that turnout.
Entertainment. And Pat McAfee's added a ton to that show too, having Saban there and everything. But College Game Day, it just rejuvenates that whole campus. They get so excited having Game Day there. All the people that will go and they'll show up for College Game Day. They get there earlier. I just think it's become one of these things that we see more and more of. Like when CBS sent their crew out. For in the Buffalo.
Oh,
and
yeah,
Kansas
the Buffalo
City,
game, yeah.
They send their crew out there because there's a big difference between being in a studio and being live at a sporting event. And College Game Day is really encapsulated, what it means to like be at a real event. Like College Game Day to me is the best program on TV. Maybe I'm jaded because it's NFL, but being at an event like that and being such a big deal when they're there, it's become an animal.
Yeah, I mean, remember when Lawrence went nuts when they announced it 2 years ago, they were going to Kansas University, KU? Everyone was going nuts.
Even the basketball when they do the college. It's different. It's different. It's just different than college game day football showing up.
Yeah, and
who's going to be the guest picker? Who they bringing
exactly.
in?
Exactly.
What famous alumni is coming in
now,
to do it?
Now, do you think they'll keep doing the headgear for someone else to
I think
do
they're
going
to retire that.
I think they got to.
Because it sucks because that was fun.
Yeah.
That was always a fun bit as far as the end of game day. And clearly, I think McAfee could have been that guy doing it. Hell, I think it'd be fun if Saban did.
Oh, my gosh. Saban doing it would be hilarious.
I mean, it'd be fun, but I think that was Lee Corso's deal. It's a shame you got to retire that because that was such a big
yeah.
But, Lee was the guy,
I think it's – I know Lee needs to retire, and it sucks that he's retiring, but, man, he had such a good run. But Nick Saban and Pat McAfee together is two of the funniest things
ever. No, it is. And the way that McAfee will fire up the crowd, like, say what you want about the guy, but the guy – I mean, I love watching McAfee. I think he's awesome. I think he's one of the best guys in media. I enjoy watching him do it. But, man, what he does by firing up the crowd – and, you know, there's no script in front of him either. He's just standing up on his chair, you know, getting the crowd to rally around him and stuff. That stuff's pretty powerful, man. Like in the sports world, he's doing it. Everybody's trying to recreate it. Everybody's trying to knock it off. Like Big Noon Kickoff, you know, it's kind of a like a college game day type of situation. Yeah, they do a good job. They do a great job. But college game day is in of itself the best. I think the NFL would be really good to have this, like a game of the week type of thing, where you brought this to NFL stadiums. You know, it's so different, you know, with Fox doing games and obviously Peacock in the mix now and Sunday Night Football and NBC. Everything's changed, but I do think that whole college game day atmosphere would be good in the pros.
I mean, my favorite all-time moment with Pat McAfee was it last year? It was, I believe, last year when they were at the SEC championship game, and he starts doing this.
Down the track! It's me, the machine in the red and black.
It's me, the machine in the red and black.
Ain't nothing finer in the land.
Ain't nothing finer in the land.
Than a drunk, obnoxious Georgia fan.
Go Dogs!
Go Dogs!
That's exciting.
Give me Alabama, he says, after giving the chant to Georgia.
but it's getting the crowd involved in it. It's fun, man. It's become a production. It's become an event. And then Washington State flag that's always there, that's been there since day one.
Tradition.
Yeah, and they send it off. I don't know if you've seen the story that they'll send it. Like, they'll mail it to somebody that's going to bring it. If the original person can't do it, they'll send the flag in the mail or whatever so someone can carry it, because they always have to plan these things out, because they got to make sure that Washington State flag's at every game, every game day. I thought it was fun. But anyway, we saw games yesterday. Clearly, Missouri winning 61-6. It's unfortunate what happened to Sam Horn, because that was the quarterback battle between him and Bo Pribula. Sam Horn, man, it's been an injury-riddled career with Sam, both baseball and football with the Tigers. The guy can hit 98. He was drafted by the Dodgers last year. He'll be fine. He's making $500,000 right now from the Dodgers as we speak, $500,000. They're probably not wild about him getting hurt. In the game, they were like, fine, you'll play college football, it's fine. But now he's, of course, we don't know the extent of it. Have you seen anything lately on that? Or Craig the Kicker, have you seen any late news on that?
I have not seen any news on it. Last I was told, they were having MRIs today, but they don't have to release anything about it.
College keeps things kind of close to the vest a lot of the times anyway, until later in the week. Now they're more transparent about it now because the league's wanted to be. But, but Pribula looked great last night. I think it's going to set up a great showdown with he and Jalen Daniels tomorrow. Or next week, not tomorrow, next week, when Kansas plays Missouri. It's fun to have that game back. It's going to be a much-talked-about game, not only locally but nationally. It brings that juice back. I'm glad to see Missouri and Kansas playing football again next year. It'll be in Lawrence, and then you got to wait till 2031 back in Columbia, then 2032 back in Lawrence. So you get some – this game needs to be played every year. But Nebraska-Cincinnati last night, 2017 game. Kind of sloppy times, but that's what you're going to get in first games of college football. That's just the way it is. You can't really make, you know, decisions on teams, how they played in the first game of college football. Because Iowa State and Kansas State, that was a sloppy game. But that's what you get when it's top 25 game and you move over to Dublin, Ireland. in rain, this is what you're going to get, a sloppy game. But typically you see sloppier games in college football because no preseason. And that's what we got with Cincinnati, I think, and Nebraska. I think both those teams better than what they showed last night. I think Nebraska better than what Cincinnati is. But it was cool having the game in Kansas City, that Battle Sports Kansas City Classic. This needs to be continued to be a thing. It's been a thing in the past. And, I mean, it's huge to get off to a good start. Ask Brian Kelly of LSU. LSU's not won a first game since 2019, so getting that first game does matter. It mattered to the Huskers. They brought all those fans down. I-29 was busy starting at 11 o'clock in the morning on down. All the people making their way down here, every restaurant you went into, Nebraska fans, every hotel, Nebraska fans, planes are flying in here full of Nebraska fans. The city made a lot of money. The city made a lot of money on that game. Supposedly Cincinnati made around $5.5-6 million having the game here, even though they knew having the game in Kansas City was going to be a ton of red fans. Not that their fans don't wear red, but the big red fans from Nebraska here. But certainly more of a paycheck than the $2 million I think Indianapolis was going to give them at Lucas Oil.
Yeah, it was all about the money.
But this is cool, and this is something we've had in the past. And I know people got excited. Can you have a red zone of college football now that ESPN, you know, in bed now with the NFL and NFL Network, where they're sharing that? They've had it before, by the way. It went from like 09 to 2020. They did college football goal line, but nobody watched it.
Well, the problem was
because there's so many networks involved.
Exactly,
that's the problem.
Right,
the NFL, yeah. Everybody's kind of under the same blanket, so you can show these, but obviously having the different networks.
Yeah, ESPN could only do all the ESPN games. So if it was on CBS and Fox and NBC, yeah. Hey, you can't touch those. And sadly, I feel like all the big games.
And they're trying to make that more uniform, too.
That would be nice.
That's the next step.
And so, like, that'd be nice to have it all uniformed. And it's also nice, okay, we get those ESPNU and ESPN Plus games on the goal line, but the big games usually happen on Fox, CBS, NBC, and so you're missing out on the bigger games.
That's something that could happen. Again, 2002? What year are you born, JT?
Good old 2000.
Okay, so you were two. So you don't remember the game. If you were a baller, you would.
What game?
Florida State and Iowa State, 2002, Eddie Robinson Classic, Arrowhead Stadium.
I don't remember that game.
I mean, we've seen Kansas and Missouri play there. We've seen Kansas State play Iowa State at Arrowhead. We've certainly seen Pittsburgh State, Northwest Missouri State square off at Arrowhead Stadium. But
Pitt State,
you're not getting a bowl game, even though, hey, it does get cold in January, late December in Kansas City. I get it. They still play the Pinstripe Bowl in Yankee Stadium. It's cold. They still play the Fenway Bowl. It's cold. You're not going to get a bowl game, so... But you can always have a kickoff classic type of game. And I think this hopefully is here to stay. You know, the Chiefs want it. They've gotten more into these type of things, having these type of events. They've definitely got involved in the concert series and everything else, tractor pulls, everything else at Arrowhead Stadium, because it falls under the Chiefs blanket when that happens. But seeing Mahomes up there in the press box, or not press box, the suite last night, you know his wheels are spinning. How's he get Texas Tech in this game? I would not be shocked at all if Texas Tech is playing in this game in Arrowhead next year.
Yeah, it would not surprise me. That would give me, like, Texas Tech versus do Texas Tech Indiana or Texas Tech Illinois.
It could be a Big 12 game. Kansas.
Oh, you're saying it could be a conference game? You think it could be an in-conference game?
You could do a conference game, sure. I mean, you had a conference game in Double Island, Kansas State and Iowa State.
Yeah, which is so funny to me.
But or get somebody else, get Bama or somebody, get these teams to travel, because that's what you want. You want the fans coming into town. You want to sell out the game. So you get these fan bases. You like Arkansas. They travel and watch that team that's coming up to Kansas City.
That actually would
be
a really good game. Texas
Oklahoma,
Tech, Arkansas at Arrowhead.
Oklahoma fan base would definitely hit here. Missouri's fan base would definitely, you know, fill that place. Kansas State, same way. Iowa State definitely would. Definitely 100%.
I don't know about Iowa.
Iowa might. I mean, it's not too far.
I know I think Logan Weber would say it would, but I think
I would work. Nebraska definitely worked in Kansas City, but you got to have kind of that regional tie to the stadium versus somebody else that travels. Cincinnati didn't travel, but they gave up that home game to have it here, so that was big. Like, it took somebody like that, Cincinnati, to have it here, but they wanted the money, and they wanted the exposure, and they wanted to play at Arrowhead Stadium. But if you had a local team involved in it, you could fill the stadium. But hopefully that continues on in Kansas City, because last night was a cool event for KC to have.
Yeah, it was great, and we got to see the I call it the off version Patrick Mahomes play, and he did all right.
Oh, Dylan Raiola.
Yeah, Dylan Raiola.
He did nothing to shed the he's trying to be Minnie Mahomes.
Nope.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Same trainer, the his whole deal, but it's one thing with the haircut.
And the
outfits. It was another thing with the you know, the leap before the game.
Where he does a little one-stop hop.
Even the first down gesture he made was very Mahomes-like. But the hand gesture, man, like hurry up and send me the play, that's Mahomes' trademark, man. That when he did that, that's kind of like, all right, come on, man. Just be yourself, man. Just be yourself. But that was a total Mahomesian. Man, you know, if you're going to pattern yourself off somebody, do that, right?
Yeah, I mean, the other reason this game worked so well was not only did – obviously, Arrowhead, Kansas City, the Chiefs pay Cincinnati well, but there was ties to the Chiefs with Cincinnati with the Travis Kelce playing there. So you had that, and you had Nebraska fans coming
Taylor
down.
Taylor Swift at the game.
Yeah, Taylor Swift.
When's
was
the last time you thought
engaged?
She would go? Did you ever think she would go to Cincinnati, Nebraska, Thursday night game at 8 o'clock kickoff? Did you ever think that in your wildest imagination?
No. Do you? Oh, okay. Quick question: do you think she would have been there if they were not engaged?
Probably not.
I don't think she would have been either if they were just dating.
There's been too many questions or something. And then when they showed him on the scoreboard, it was just him, right? It was just Travis. But I guarantee when Mahomes saw that and think, you know, the Kelce brothers enjoying seeing their alumni, seeing Cincinnati playing this game.
He's like, I need Texas Tech.
That PM logo they put on their jersey sometimes. The PM Adidas gear, because he got on the switch to Adidas, right? So,
yep, they're Adidas now.
And he's probably loving that too because Nebraska's an Adidas school. So it kind of fit in with Mahomes being at that game.
Of course they are.
So that was an interesting thing last night. 1 week away, though, from the Kansas City Chiefs in Brazil against the Chargers. And tonight, you can go to the Red Roundtable at Hollywood Casino. This Friday, tonight, 6 to 8 p.m., roundtable discussion with Dana Hughes, Mitchell Schwartz, and Nate Taylor. Audience question and answer, photo opportunities to follow, no autographs in this thing. But think about the connection here. You got Dana Hughes, that calls all the Chiefs games. He's the analyst. Dana Hughes, a former Hawkeye, a guy that was drafted in Major League Baseball, a guy that played for the Kansas City Chiefs, dual sport type guy. And Dana's awesome when he does anything and breaks down any game. You got Mitch Schwartz, that obviously Josh Simmons is going to be a huge topic. The offensive line, nobody knows the offensive line better than the Mitch Schwartz breakdowns and him and his brother and what they do on Twitter on that. But he worked with Simmons through minicamp, so it's like a perfect connection there. And then, of course, you have Nate Taylor that's glued in on everything now that he's made the switch. And, well, he always had, you know, the always Chiefs information, but now he's the ESPN insider for the Kansas City Chiefs. So that's a pretty good trifecta at Hollywood Casino. Just go right in. It's free. Just Hollywood Casino. Go down there. Do your gambling.
Got to be 18 and older.
Yeah. Rob and I did the show down that ESPN bet not too long ago at Hollywood Casino. Cody and Gold were out there, and then Rob and I did the drive out there. That was fun, man. It was straight up to Turn 2 Lounge for me after that. Straight up.
Oh,
there.
I bet you were enjoying
it's
yourself.
It's right there in Turn 2, man. I mean, it's perfect scenery. It could be the beach or anything else, but you're right there at the track, man. That was fun. But Hollywood Casino is a great place to go. But anyway, with Dana and Mitch and Nate, that is perfect. That is perfect for 1 week away from the Chiefs game to get questions answered that you want answered for the Kansas City Chiefs. I would gladly do it on the text line, but again, you're going to have to do it on YouTube or send it through Pigeon for us to get a hold of what your questions might be.
Tough time right now with the text line. Sorry, guys.
But regardless, that's what's trending here in Kansas City and college football weekend. I mean, we'll get to it later in the 1 o'clock hour, I'm sure. But, man, you got Kansas tonight and Wagner. I know you're not very excited about that.
No, I'm actually really excited for the Baylor game tonight. I think that
Baylor Auburn tonight.
Yeah, I think that could go off the walls. It feels like it could go crazy somewhere.
And that's at the same time as Georgia Tech and Colorado. Yeah. What's Deion going to be like without Shadur?
Without his kids, right?
Caden Salter. Wait, he got a 5-star recruit to come in as a quarterback, but Caden Salter transferred from Liberty there. Really good quarterback, dual threat. He's now the quarterback at Colorado. Deion named him the starter in Colorado. And how lucky is the Big 12 having that? Because that brought in Big Noon Sunday, that brought in College Game Day and everything for a Big 12 school. So that was big for them. But anyway, head out to Hollywood Casino tonight between 6 and 8 for the Red Round Table, with Dana, Mitch, and Nate. Three awesome dudes that know everything about this team inside and out, including Mitch Schwartz that actually started a Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes. So not bad there. Coming up next, though, major trade kind of shook things up in the NFL world yesterday, and how does it pertain to the Kansas City Chiefs? Get to that next. Welcome back, Jay Binkley, JT Noah. Have some Andy Reid for you here in the 1 o'clock hour. He did. He did mention that. He said, "quote It doesn't look like he'll make it this week." Talking about Jalen Royals. See, that was the concern, JT. But it's not a shock. It's not a shock that Jalen Royals wouldn't be here, because the big talk was he going to be put on the IR or not? Because the way it works is, you have eight guys you can put on injured reserve, designated to return. This has changed from the days where you couldn't bring anybody back, or you could just bring one person back. But you can have eight guys come back, which, to be honest with you, I think that's fair. Guys should be able to come back if they're ready to come back. But you shove them for four games, they come back. But you can do two initially when you put out the roster, like right at the beginning, like the Chiefs did. You know, they put two guys could be activated back to return. And then you can put six on during the season. And then when you get the postseason, you can put two more. So make it a total of 10 that you can designate to return. So there's been talk about, you know, Jalen going on the IR for four games. So I guess it's good news at this point that he hasn't been put on it, because he easily could be put on it. He still could be put on it, because if they did put him on it, this one game would count as one of the four that he went on. Or they could, you know, wait on it and do it so it's missing a total of four games. We'll see what happens. With the Rice suspension, the way that works is he's got to be away from the facility, can't practice at all with the team until that week of the Raiders game. That's the way the NFL suspensions work. Where you take your game checks and you got to stay like completely away from the facility. But what they have done is change it to where at the midway point, so after game three, he technically can still come back to facility at that point for treatment, for rehab, whatever you're doing, lift weights, do those kind of things without practicing still, but he can at least be in the facility after 3 weeks. So they start ramping people up with about 3 weeks to go for the games. But not having Jalen Royals in game one, it doesn't look like you're going to have him. So you're not going to have Rice or Jalen Royals. I don't know what you really could have counted on for Jalen Royals in this game. It does suck, though, because, again, you're taking one dart. You're throwing one dart at a wide receiver in the draft, and now you're not going to have him for week one. And you're not going to have Rashee Rice for week one. So it's like Juju, step up. Xavier Worthy, continue to step up for this team. You know, it's like Justin Watson getting his run last year, and he's with the Chiefs. And again, when people want to look at Patrick Mahomes and this offense and, you know, finishing 15th in points per game like they were last year, still make the Super Bowl. Again, look at Andy Reid's coaching job last year and look at Patrick Mahomes' quarterbacking. The fact they didn't have any weapons and they still won the division by four games in a division where three teams went to the postseason. It's incredible when you look back and think about all the things that happened to them. What's happening again for game one? Because last year, it was about your first-round pick, which always has pressure on you. Like Xavier Worthy did have pressure, being a first-round pick and a wide receiver, something they needed. But it was okay, right? Because Hollywood Brown was here, and Rashee Rice was here, and, you know, they're in front of you, and you weren't the dude. Well, then he became the dude, and he had to be that guy. And it was, step up, son, you're the first-round pick. Got to step up. Rice is out. Hollywood Brown's out. You got to be the guy. And it took him a while. The time and space and the sideline, getting coordinated with Mahomes to get it. And then towards the end of the year, he was great. He was outstanding. We know he's got the speed. He can run the routes too. He can do everything you want. He did lead Texas in yards and receptions for three straight years. He knows what he's doing. There's a reason why they picked him. He's an academic all Big 12 guy. They know why they took him. But he looks more physical. And that's, he looked more physical in training camp. He's looked more physical through the preseason. And for his size and being underweight kind of, and having the weight issues, he's been extremely durable. Like, he's a tough dude. Like, he doesn't miss games, knock on wood. Like, that is good to see with Xavier Worthy, because he's a baller, man. He wants to be out there all the time, and he does. And I'm expecting big things from him this year. That is good news that Xavier Worthy will be playing in the Chargers game. But it's going to be Juju, and it's going to be some Tyquan Thornton, which I like Tyquan. I'm glad that he made the team. I always thought he would make the team. He is the 50th overall selection in the draft a couple years ago. Did run a 4.28, so he is fast too. So he's got that. He's had to run the routes better. And he's a gunner on special teams. And when he was in New England, Matthew Slater, 10-time Pro Bowler, was still on the team. And he learned from him. And then Slater was the coach. He went into coaching after that with him. So he's learned from the best as far as that and that endeared him to Dave Tope. And you saw him take the top off the defense with the 58-yard reception from Mahomes. So I'm sure that's in the playbook sometime too. And the good news is you're probably going to get to see what you want to see from Hollywood Brown. Hollywood Brown comes back at the end of the year, gets the 9 receptions. But I was excited when they did sign Hollywood because I know what he can do when he's on the field. Yes, he's had always had injury concerns, missing those 2 or 3 games a year, whatever it was. Last year was a lot more because it was 15. But you know why I was most excited, JT? It was contract year, man. Because that was his time here in his late 20s to go out and get that big contract. Come to Kansas City, have Reed as your play caller, your head coach, have Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback, put up big numbers, and then who knows what kind of money you get on the open market. We see what teams are paying receivers these days. Didn't work out. He gets hurt. I think the Chiefs only thought it was going to be a one-year deal because Brett Veach even talked about it even going before last season started. Well, we have Hollywood Brown for a year. I think that's kind of their mindset. They weren't going to be able to afford him in free agency. Well, when you're injured all year, you, guess what? You come back and you're inexpensive and you're still on a prove it deal. It's why I love guys on prove it deals. Like, that is totally a prove it deal. But they're going to rely on him a lot. Like, he's been in the system, he's been on this team, was at practice every day last year. You know, even heard he was still hanging around or being at practice. He was through at training camp, even though he was out, not practicing for about a week and a half there, but he was still there. He still understands the system. He knows the plays. He knows the cadence. He knows all that. So he and Xavier Worthy are going to have to be the dudes, man. He's going to have to be durable.
Yeah, I think it's important to know that Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, Juju Smith-Schuster, Travis Kelce, Noah Gray, those guys are going to have to be crucial in the first 6 games because they know the system the most. They've played with Patrick Mahomes the most. And without Rashee Rice, they just got to step up a little more. Sure, we want to see something from Tyquan Thorne. Sure, we would love to see something from Royals if he gets healthy before the 6-game suspension's up. But we don't want to rely on them. We want to rely on the veterans and the players that have been on this team the longest and know Patrick Mahomes and the offense the best.
Yeah, you want to see. I want to see what Hollywood can do clearly with Patrick Mahomes. See that, and hopefully we'll get to see that in Brazil. I mean, it needs to happen because without Jalen Royals, which I don't know how much you're going to count on a rookie anyway, but still, that's a body that would have been playing for you. And now Brownlee's going to get his chance and stuff like this. But again, it's a lot of unproven. Yes, he's got a touchdown in the National Football League. He did that with the Jets. And obviously, Tyquan Thornton's got a chance to play. But this is different, though. This is playing for the Kansas City Chiefs. This is a team that's gone the 7 straight AFC title games. This is a team that's been in 3 straight Super Bowls. You have a multi-MVP as your quarterback. Things are different. You got Hall of Famers in your coaching staff and on your football team in various places. It's different playing for the Chiefs. They're going to have to step up. Now, I cannot wait for the day where you see Mahomes playing with all his weapons. It's amazing as good as he is with what he's had to work with. Hell, I thought that was a big reason why Josh Allen got MVP last year. He scored 30 points a game for an offense that a lot of people can't name the players on that team. So I give him credit for that. He deserves credit for that. No, there was no digs there last year. He had already moved on to New England. But he got 30 points a game with that. I think when a quarterback wins with less means more to that quarterback, but you don't want to continually see that.
Right. The only player you could name on the Buffalo Bills outside of Buffalo was James Cook. That's about it. That's the only player that you really recognize.
Or the tight ends.
Okay. The tight ends, Kinnett and Kincaid, right? No, was it? Yeah, Kinnett and Kincaid. Yeah, both decays. So,
but the bottom line is they still found a way to do it. It was a good scheme. It was a good system. And with Reed, I mean, the bottom line is you're going to have to, you know, go forward with Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, that whole crew, the Dawsons that were there in Buffalo. But when you win with less, but you don't want to see this all the way with Mahomes. Like, they've spent a lot of draft capital on defense. They've done that. They shored up the offensive line. Like, hopefully they feel confident. Hopefully Simmons works out exactly like you want. Hopefully Kingsley's the dude you want at left guard. Hopefully that's a situation you don't have to worry about because it did set you back last year because he's not your tackle. You had to move him to guard, and he's replacing an all-pro first-teamer in Joe Tooney. You're going to have Creed for a while. You're going to have Trey Smith now for a while, and we'll see what happens at right tackle with Juwan. It's not a biggest concern with the Chiefs, but Kelce's probably on his last dance. Like, what do you do going forward? What about the weapons? You always like a quarterback when they have their connection. Like, you can that's the thing with Rice that's, like, frustrating because that's why you knew the suspension was going to happen, but you didn't want to see it because I love what Rice and Mahomes are building. Like, I love it because that's his dude. Now, that's a guy I'd give a second contract to. Because you know what? It's going to be affordable, too. With what he's, you know, gone through legally and missing games and stuff. I mean, that factors into what you're going to get in the open market. So I think it is more affordable for the Chiefs. And you get a guy with the connection from Mahomes. He needs his guy, man. Every quarterback has their dude. Manning in Indy, he had two Hall of Famers with him. He had Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne. Marvin's already in there. Reggie Wayne will be. But he had his guys. Marino, Duper, and Clayton. Montana Rice, Steve Young Rice. I mean, everybody's got their dude. Who's going to be Patrick Mahomes' dude going forward? And I think that's going to be Rashee Rice, but we're not going to see that for six games going through. So, yeah, I want to see Mahomes get loaded up with weapons. I've been saying this for years, but it's time. It's time not to sit here and have the dance every year after training camp, thinking Mahomes going into a season, you know, without his guys. And then last year, seeing the Brown injury, then all of a sudden the Rice injury. Then, oh, by the way, your leading rusher's out in game two. And who knows when he's coming back. Hey, Kareem Hunt, can you get off the couch, come in and play for this football team again? I mean, that was a hodgepodge crew, man. And they did it because their quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, and were able to survive and get 15 games. But regardless, yeah, you see that news, and I just wanted to keep building up weapons. You have that quarterback, I've always said, you have that guy for one time in your life. One time in your lifetime, probably. I doubt Kansas City ever sees a quarterback that goes to five Super Bowls again and definitely win three of them. I hope it happens. Could it happen? 100% it can't happen. It just doesn't happen. I mean, a whole lifetime went on between Lynn Dawson and now. Remember, this team went 21 years without winning a playoff game. It's not a guarantee. Nothing in this league is guaranteed. So fill him up with weapons. Make the draft about Patrick Mahomes. Get that offensive talent. Don't just take one dart to get a wide receiver. Get multiple.
Yeah, I think sometimes we try, I say we, as in the Chiefs have tried to go for the defense and protect it with like, hey, we want to give Spags what we want to give him. But why haven't we always loaded up for the offense?
I mean, we've seen 8 out of 10 picks sometimes.
We always make Andy Reid play with less. Why don't we make Spags play with less?
Well, exactly. That time in Kansas City when the draft was here, never forget that Friday night. We did our draft show out at the Center Block, right? That was the one night they got offense. Because they got Rashee Rice and Wanya Morris. That Friday night of the draft was Kansas City. That was the one night where they got offensive pieces. And clearly one of those helps this team out a lot more than the other in Rashee Rice. But keep throwing darts and build up that offense. But the big news yesterday was the trade of Micah Parsons. Can you imagine being in Kansas City and losing Mahomes and Bobby Witt Jr.? I mean, think about it. That town lost Luka, who was traded. They lose Micah Parsons. That was traded. Imagine losing your biggest superstars like Dallas has. Like, this town would freak out. Now, how it relates to Kansas City Chiefs is you don't have Micah Parsons to deal with on Thanksgiving. Like, that might have been the one saving grace Dallas did have going into that game. Because who knows if Dak's not hurt by the time that game is played. CeeDee Lamb is obviously a stud. Know that, but can't do it alone. Look at Ja'Marr Chase. He won the Triple Crown last year at wide receiver. Didn't even make the playoffs, so... You know, take that for a grain of salt. But Micah Parsons makes a difference. He gets the quarterback. He's had at least 12 sacks every year he's been in the NFL. He can disrupt the quarterback. Even if he's not getting a sack, he can get back there and disrupt the quarterback.
He's a true game wrecker. He can take the game over on defense.
Well, as Mike Lombardi says, he's a Tuesday guy. That's the guy you start worrying about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It's the guy you're worried about. That's the guy you know that you're going to have to face during the game, and things are going to have to work out. Perfectly for you to be good against him. He's a Tuesday dude. But anyway, when Micah Parsons was traded, it was kind of weird. It's kind of weird in their compensation that they got. Because you look at some of the other trades, you know, Cutler and the Tyreek Hill and Laramie Tunsil, and these moves, even though they're not as many first-round picks and some of them like Laramie Tunsil, but the actual draft capital is probably more for when Tunsil gets traded to Washington than what Dallas is getting, which is really weird. Really weird how Jerry responded that they're fine, they're better off this way, and they can take those picks and maybe get some Pro Bowlers. Good luck, man. There's no guarantees in football whether you're going to get a Pro Bowler. Who knows? You just got rid of one of the best ever at getting to the quarterback. Fourth all-time in sacks on your team. Micah Parsons changed things. You send him to Green Bay. Green Bay, yes, you're going to have your first-round picks for the next 2 years, Dallas's, and they're probably going to be pretty good picks because I don't think they're going to be very good. But Green Bay is going to be good. So those first-round picks you're getting from Green Bay, they're going to be in their 20s, probably. Five of the last 6 years, Green Bay's drafted in their 20s. So, yeah, they're first-round picks, but are they premium first-round picks? Because teams do look at that, especially if you're one that trade a second-rounder or a third-rounder with the team, and there's two teams involved in wanting to trade for a player. Chiefs have been in this situation, and they're more often not trading with a team that's got a better selection because the team's worse off, because the Chiefs always draft at the end of the round because the team's good. So any pick the Chiefs give you is not going to be as good as somebody else's because of where the Chiefs pick in each round, which is towards the end of it. So it's always tough. But traded for the Packers for that, I mean, yeah, you better be good. And you, what are you going to trade for, Jerry? You going to trade for quarterback? I don't think so. You gave Dak all that money. You said that's our guy for the future. So you've given him the money. Which direction are you going? I think Chiefs fans would have a lot of difficulty with a guy like Micah Parsons going. I'm shocked he's not staying in Dallas. Of course, we're not exactly connected to the situation here, being in Kansas City. But Michael Irvin, you know, he was on, what, 1 minute before the trade went down on ESPN, talking about how they're not going to trade Micah Parsons. Like, he was right there talking about, they're never going to trade him. Then they do. Because the NFL, you don't know what's going to happen. And we've seen a lot of trade deadline deals. These younger GMs, man, and Jerry's definitely not one of them, but we see them more easy doing trades. And Jerry Jones, I don't think he knows what the hell he's doing at this point. And it's got to be a frustrating situation because he has done things, but it's been, what, 30 years since they've done it. What he's doing, but you can't guarantee you're going to be better. I mean, you can make as many trades as you want, but you can't guarantee things. You can't guarantee anything. Even when you take a quarterback in the first round, you can't guarantee that player is going to be good going off in the future. But anyway, Jerry thinks that that everything's going to be all right, that they're going to be great. And I just don't see it, man. I see this town flipping out. But it does affect the Chiefs because you don't get to see Micah Parsons now on the Thanksgiving Day game. So at 3 o'clock, you don't have to worry about him. You don't have to worry about Jerry at all. But it was just a bizarre deal to have a press conference and kind of defending. Because if you're defending what you did, you know you did something wrong. There was no reason to have a press conference. He talked for like the first 11 minutes. Like the first 11 minutes of the press conference about trading Micah, trying to calm everybody down because everybody's freaking out. Why couldn't you get this deal done? I expect this deal to get done right game one like he likes to do. Like real late in the things when he gets, you know, CeeDee Lamb done or Dak Prescott. And I know the Chris Jones thing drug along with the Chiefs, but they make a decision to keep you, and they keep them when, like Herm Edwards, you say, you sign the players that the arrow's pointing up. At that point, Chris Jones still has had something in the tank. They definitely believe in Trey Smith and what he's going to do. And you felt like he was going to come back to Chiefs all along, showed up at minicamp, things that tag players typically don't do. He did. So you figured that deal would get done. Get George Karloftis. I think Trey Smith saved the Chiefs money by doing the deal now. I think George Karloftis saved the Chiefs money because if he goes out of his career year, he would have been expensive, more expensive on the open market. He's still top 10 for edge rusher. He'd be 11 now. The Micah's been paid. But, yeah, they get these deals done before the market explodes. The Chiefs just know when to do it, but you also know who to re-sign. And I get it. They keep bringing guys back, like Clyde's back on the practice squad and all that, although I think they're more here to be coaches and locker room guys, to be honest with you. I think that's kind of the direction the Chiefs have gone with that. But they decide who they want to pay. I don't think Isaiah Pacheco gets that benefit of the doubt and gets that extra paycheck for the Kansas City Chiefs in a long-term contract. And he shouldn't because running backs are dime a dozen in the draft. And so when you got Isaiah Pacheco, you got him in the seventh round, and that's what you do. Brett Veach called a shot that year. He said, we can draft a guy in the seventh round, sixth round, seventh round, undrafted. They can be 1,000-yard type running back. And he was because he would have got that if not sitting out towards the end. And the last game of the year, he could have gotten to 1,000 yards, which is really nothing, to be honest with you. He's only getting like 58 yards a game now with 17-game schedule to get to that. But can Isaiah Pacheco be that guy? Will he have that monster contract year and go out and prove himself, get that big open market contract? Again, guys on contract deals are great. Like Jalen Moore, they can still bring him back next year, but he still, you know, go out and prove yourself to other teams in the NFL. That's good. Hollywood Brown's on that deal. Isaiah Pacheco's on that deal. Go out and earn money going forward. Charles Omenihu, go out and have a big year and get money, big money elsewhere. I like the fact when you get these guys that have something to prove they can gain money going forward the National Football League, that's important, and Brett Veach has been able to do it. So much so that over the last 3 years, the team with the most draft picks that are still on the roster, and this is interesting. You think about, you know, how good Brett Veach is drafted, and because the only way you can truly tell is how many guys are still on the roster. And you have to be good. You have to make it to the playoffs. You can't be like the Colts or anything because it doesn't matter. If you draft guys and they're on your roster but you're not winning, it doesn't matter. Like right now, the teams with the highest percentage of draft picks from 2021 to 2024 still on the roster or the injured list, per at Sports Radar. They put this thing together. The Bengals lead the way. Believe it or not, the Bengals lead the way of draft picks still on the roster, even though they don't draft extremely well because they don't have a lot of contributions from those draft picks and hadn't made the playoffs in the last 2 years. They're at 73.5%. The Chiefs are number two at 73.3%, followed by the Lions and the Ravens. The Eagles are on that list as well because they draft well. But for the Chiefs to be 73.3% for the last 3 years of having draft picks still on the roster, that shows you how good they're drafting. And I know the Bengals are just barely ahead of them, but there's a big difference. The Chiefs have rings. The Bengals want one. Like, Veach has won three. He's been the five.
Bengals haven't won a single one.
Yeah. So even though they're 73.5, big deal. They have guys still they drafted. Well, they're not performing. The Chiefs draft picks come here and they perform. I remember going into last year, Bo Peep Keys was they had 21 out of the last 22 picks still on the roster. Only one of them was Bo Peep. So that was including practice squad guys, you know, like Cordell Powell and stuff that was on the practice squad. But they were still here. Like, they were still here. But you have to draft them and they have to win. And the Chiefs have drafted them, and they've won, which is a huge difference. Anyway, coming up next, though, we'll hear from Andy Reid, I believe, JT. We have that ready roll. So we'll hear from Andy Reid, his press conference a week before the first game of the season with the Chargers, and he fills you in on Jalen Royals and his status, and if he expects to see him in game one, because it doesn't really look like it. We'll hear from that next.